Macon-Bibb County officials meet later this month to discuss why the rate of pedestrian fatalities is so high in the city. It's either the most deadly or close to the most deadly county in the state for walkers, depending on how you count it. Esther Muhammad's son Daniel was hit by a car on Macon's east side when he was just 16 years old.
The way Jeffersonville Road is made, it's a blind spot when you're coming from a certain distance, especially if the sun is beaming, and she didn't see him.
Daniel Muhammad survived that crash, but he was struck again 3 years ago near the family's East Macon apartment, and that time he died from his injuries. Muhammad was a well-known and much-loved young man around town. He was a poet who was prominent in the downtown creative scene, and his death made a lot of news. What the public didn't know is that police later quietly determined that Muhammad's death was a suicide. His mom does not believe it. That part of the story was reported by one of my journalism students at Mercer University, Connor Wood. She and her classmates did a semester-long investigation into Macon's sky-high pedestrian fatality rate that we hope advanced the discussion on the topic and perhaps had something to do with city officials' decision to convene a summit on the topic later this month. We're going to talk now about Macon's problem, which has a lot in common with the problems of other urban communities across the Southeast and beyond. Joining me in Macon's Southeast and beyond. Joining me in GPB's Macon Bureau is my friend Chris Savatawa. Chris chairs the Health Services Administration Program at Middle Georgia State University, and he sits on the Macon-Bibb Board of Health, where he has made pedestrian safety a top issue. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, Adam.
Also joining us all the way from Cleveland, Ohio, which has its own struggles with this problem, is Angie Schmidt. She's editor of Streets Blog USA, a publication that follows urban transportation issues. Welcome back to the show, Angie.
Thanks a lot.
Chris, let's just start with you. This is a problem that at most, at the worst years in Macon, has killed maybe a dozen people. The rate of fatalities compared to other communities is very high in Macon, but the amount of deaths that we're talking about is relatively small compared to other things that hurt people in our community. Why is this something that deserves so much attention from people like you?
Well, pedestrian fatalities and injuries are such a significant indicator of an intersection of larger problems. You look at infrastructure, behavior, enforcement, and you see that an opportunity presents itself for policymakers to possibly lead the discussion, bring in science, bring in more inquiry into past the anecdotal assessment of one accident at one time, and you see that this is something that can be prevented. It's something that we should expect is an unacceptable outcome on our roadways. And just like other changes in pedestrian and driver safety, such as seatbelt use or drunk driving, we in public health and as a citizenry have decided that this is unacceptable. And we need to move this conversation around pedestrian safety and bike safety into that same sphere.
Angie, when you look at the national numbers, what are they doing? Are more people being hit by cars while they're out walking, or is it holding steady? Is it actually declining in some places?
Actually, in the last few years, it's been growing after a number of years of decline, and nobody's really sure why, in particular, pedestrian and cycling deaths are on the way up. Just in the last year, overall motor vehicle fatalities spiked because, in large part, because gas prices are so low and more people are out driving.
Out there driving, yeah. Yeah, okay. One of the interesting things that we discovered in our reporting here in Macon, Angie, was that if you looked at the rates of fatalities across different areas of our city, we saw that a lot of people were hit by cars in our downtown area, but those strikes very rarely resulted in fatalities. Where people get hit and killed is in the immediately outlying suburban areas. Does that surprise you, or is that consistent?
No, not at all. That's very common. These pedestrian fatalities are very closely related to driver speed. So if a pedestrian is hit by a car traveling at 20 miles per hour, they almost always survive. The death rate is very low. But if they're hit by a car traveling 40 miles per hour, they almost always die. So speed is a very key factor in pedestrian safety. And on a lot of these outlying roads, they're built sort of like highways in the city. Right. Even though they might be near things people want to walk to or near apartment buildings where people are relying on transit, often they've been designed with a lot of highway-like features that really speed cars fast. And those are the most dangerous. Those suburban arterials are definitely the most kind of dangerous kind of road for pedestrians.
Chris Savatowa, when we look at the places in Georgia where pedestrian fatality rates are very high, it's places like Macon, it's places like Augusta, Richmond, it's some of the Atlanta counties. What do all these places have in common? It's not just that they're urbanized, right?
No, I mean, you can attribute a lot of, these issues to, a variety of different things, but I'll speak to one of those that's about those cities. An intersection of federal interstates, state roads, and then large municipalities. And so that makes the problem a little bit more complex when you look at how do you resolve this from a jurisdictional perspective.
Right, because cities can't just go in and change state or federal roads.
Right, you can't even go out there and restripe it when no one's looking. So, it makes it a pretty complicated process, not one that is necessarily laden with red tape, but one that requires you to have real purpose and strategy. And if you don't have someone managing, a plan, and you don't have a citizenry, being vocal about their expectations, mm-hmm. It makes it very difficult for you to move past, these incremental adjustments for road redesign or construction or just day-to-day use.
Sure, yeah. Listeners, we're talking about pedestrian safety. Macon is going to be convening a summit later this month to look at its particular problem with pedestrian fatalities. And my guests are Angie Schmidt. She's the editor of Streets Blog USA. Chris Savatowa is a board member of the Macon-Bibb Board of Health. We'd love to hear from you. How is pedestrian safety where you live? What do you think can be done to improve safety for walkers? Tweet us at OST Talk or join our conversation happening at facebook.com/OnSecondThoughtRadio. Let's talk about solutions. We spoke to Peter Norton. He's a technology historian at the University of Virginia. He's also author of the book Fighting Traffic, The Dawn of the Motor Age in the American City. He says, in some ways, all the rules of the road that motorists and pedestrians follow put them in harm's way. He points to a town in the Netherlands that made a major traffic change. Let's listen.
Beginning in a town called Drachten, they took out all the traffic lights, all the stop signs, took away the curbs, so you can't tell the difference between the sidewalk and the street. They only put up one rule sign, and that was a sign that said, there are no rules here, so be careful. And what they found was that suddenly drivers were much more careful, pedestrians had a better experience, and actually the number of injuries and fatalities fell.
So, Angie, this is sort of similar to a lot of different strategies that I've heard about. One is called a road diet, where you take a wide road and actually make it more narrow. All these things that would seem on their face to actually make the roads more dangerous, and yet they somehow result in fewer accidents. Square this circle for us.
Yeah, a lot. The sort of norm in traffic engineering for a long time was to design roads a lot like highways. What's safe on a highway is wide lanes. But it turns out in urban areas, the exact opposite is the safest. These wide lanes encourage cars to drive very fast, and that's the worst possible thing for pedestrian safety. And it's also more dangerous for motorists. So a lot of cities that are tackling these issues, they're using this technique called a road diet. A lot of them are adding bike infrastructure. So you can take a four-lane road, for example, and make it into a three-lane road with a center turn lane and add two bike lanes. And not only does that give people a new option, a new healthy option about how to get around, a lot of times it doesn't even slow traffic. It improves the efficiency for drivers and it's safer for everyone. So adding bike infrastructure is a really great tool you can use in this to solve this problem.
Right. So we have a Facebook message from a listener named Brandon Winfrey who says, teach everyone the laws of crosswalks and the laws of jaywalking. That's something that we hear a lot when we have these conversations, but it's actually contrary to the research that we're talking about, which is that really, if what's necessary is for motorists to be awake and aware of their surroundings and ready for anything, as opposed to kind of sinking into that mindset where they're almost on autopilot, and having a road environment where there's lots of people crossing, lots of action, not that many signs, and people just have to figure things out for themselves, it actually tends to make things a little bit safer. Chris Savatowa, in our last minute here, with this summit that you've got coming up, what are you hoping to accomplish and what kind of solutions is Macon looking at?
Well, we're dedicated to defining the county's pedestrian safety concerns and laying out a strategy for making our community much safer. And we've recognized that by pulling together this pedestrian fatality review board that came out of a recommendation from the Board of Health and the county commissioners, that we were not alone and that many stakeholders were doing things and many entities in government and outside of government were doing things. So, bringing together the resources to do road safety audits, to do open streets events, to do some real aggressive community education, that we know that we can really change the conversation. And that conversation actually has been changing, Adam. Our community no longer looks at victim blaming as the default approach, right, to these injuries and fatalities.
And we'll have to leave it there. That's Chris Savatowa. He's on the board of public health for Macon-Bibb County. Angie Schmidt is the editor of Streets Blog USA. Check out her site. Thank you both very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.